Hello, it's 7:04 in the evening on Monday night. It's time for the Access Hour. My name is Ken, and I'm the coordinator, Ken Rainier. And with me are 1, 2, 3, 4, and maybe a fifth coming, representatives of local, independent, nonprofit, 501c3, cooperatively organized, volunteer-run music listening room and coffee house, the Wild Hog in the Woods, which is celebrating a birthday. So I'll say hello to everybody. Not Jamie, because Jamie's wandering around taking pictures. But let's see. We have Kim Genich. Hi, Kim. Say something. Say
good
hi, Ken.
Good evening.
Hey, thank you. And Lisa Johnson.
Hi there.
Hi, thanks. And Debbie Kimetz.
Hi. Hi.
And Jamie.
Yes, I'm here, Ken. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to discuss a little bit about what the coffee house is about, why it got formed, how it's been operating, what it's going to do, and how old it is. I think actually we should do those in reverse order in a way. How old is it?
35 years.
We're 35 years old.
And that's the last Thursday and Friday of November is when the coffee house started.
And right now it's November the 18th. So have you got anything planned for the anniversary, as it were? Or,
well, we had a kickoff concert in September with Little Rev and Larry Penn from Milwaukee. And Little Rev has been a repeat performer at the Wild Hog over the years. And Larry Penn is a great songwriter, former truck driver from Milwaukee, And that was good to have them, because they're two pretty good examples of the kind of local and regional performers who play at the Wild Hog typically, and they did a lot of traditional music from the public domain, and as well as some of Little Rev's songs and some of Larry's songs. But there are other things coming up. The next thing we did was a birthday party in October on a Friday night at Wilmar, and it turned into a really nice sized song circle, and people brought musical instruments, their voices, some of their reminiscences, and some refreshments, and it was just a very informal sing along, play along. But we have other events coming up in the next couple months as well.
Like what?
Well, we have Amanda Poole coming up in December. Actually, we have Diane Michaels this coming Friday. And Diane is a singer-songwriter. Amanda is also a singer-songwriter, as well as being on the board of the Madison Songwriters group. On the 13th of December, we'll have Greg Berner, Prentice Berge from the Solidarity Singers on the 20th, and on the 27th, we're going to have Nelson Graham, who's got a wonderful voice and also is a local singer-songwriter. So that's through the end of December. We're always open on Friday nights, September through usually the end of May. And then we are open a couple of nights in June and July and August, give people a break over the summer.
And that's because we have all those volunteers running, and they need a break.
You know, Lisa, you were talking about Prentice from the Solidarity Singers and Nelson Graham, and they're two really good examples of the kind of people that have been at the coffee house, like, over the last 35 years, people that are local or, as Kim said, sometimes regional, and come to the stage, and they bring different parts of the community in with them to the stage, and you get to hear the music that you might not hear if the person had to go out and get a two-hour, you know, formal concert somewhere. And it makes me think, when the coffee house started, because I happened to be with some of the people that started it back then, 35 years ago.
Yay.
It started partly very much to be able to have a place where people in town could go and hear each other play music. It was a kind of horizontal organization. You know, you wanted to hear the people that you were friends. You wanted to hear people that might be new to town, people that you never met. And the purpose was to create a listening room where people could have access to the stage, to be on stage, but also to come and hear people. And it started out with a Thursday and a Friday night. And even on that first Thursday night, Roxanne Ketting played, who still is, she's Roxanne Neat now. And the next night, among the people who played were Karen Gogolik, who's part of KG and the Rangers, and John Tushin, who was a poet laureate for Madison and has since passed away. But there have been all sorts of wonderful people, and they're your neighbors, they're your friends, and this is a place for people to go to hear each other play. And so I think it's a testimony that it's here 35 years because there's always a need like that. And I guess from my perspective, I'd like to hope that people out there that are musicians or have friends that are musicians look to the Hog as a place where you can put together 45 minutes of music and go in there and have these really good sound engineers set up the mics and things for you. And there's tables. And as Jamie just said, there's volunteers that run this place, and people will listen to you. And that's like a treasure to have in a community, I think.
It's a real listening room, isn't it?
Yeah.
Without smoking, without drinking, it's an attention to the performance.
Yeah, and you can have performers that are from 4 years old to 80 years old, and there they can be, and it can be mic'd. Well, most often is mic'd. It could be unmic'd if you really wanted it, but it's here for the community. It was organized as a cooperative, again, to have that sort of horizontal organization, and it still is a cooperative, and I think that's part of its strength. And maybe somebody else would want to talk about how it's organized.
Well, we have a coordinating committee that gets elected at the annual meeting, and we have there are certain officers that the state requires when you have a nonprofit corporation, and so our president is called the High Hog, and then you have to have a president, and you have to have a treasurer, so the High Hog has a
ceremonial role.
Yeah, it's kind of a ceremonial role.
It's not so much
the treasurer has to do a little bit of number crunching.
Yeah.
We've traditionally had annual meetings, and we have coordinator meetings to which all members and the public are invited every other first Monday at Wilmar Neighborhood Center.
Gosh, we should mention that's where we are.
Yeah,
I was going to ask where the location
Center.
Was.
Yeah.
953 Jennifer Street. That's Jennifer with one N. And it's a block up from Willie Street on the corner of Brearley.
In Madison.
We've been in a couple different places, though, over the years.
It started
out.
Yeah,
what's the first one?
The first one was 604 University, and it was right next to the 602 Bar, for any of those who remember. And that was really, I mean, one of the other things that the Hog has been very good about is cooperating with other community organizations, and even in the housing of it. And when it started out, it was such a shoestring operation that it seemed a good idea to pair up. And we asked the Green Lantern Eating Cooperative if we could have a coffee house there on Thursday and Friday nights. And that was actually a meal cooperative where people would go and sign up, and they could go for lunch and supper as many times in the week as they wanted. And that lasted for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years. It was really a nice place, and it was a wonderful relationship. And then
the Green Lantern Eating Cooperative went back into the 40s.
Yeah, that was a long-standing Madison cooperative. Do you want to talk about it?
No.
No, okay. No, and then we went to the Brook Street Y and so did the Green Lantern, because the rent went sky high in that block. And then the Hog was at the Brook Street Y for a good long time.
Which has since become Porchlight, am I right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
And we know about Porchlight here in WRT, yeah, distinction.
Yeah. And then in the early 1990s, we moved to the Wilmar Center. Again, a really, really nice partnership. And along the way, there was one change from having a Thursday and Friday night to now, as you say, it's a Friday night.
We've consolidated.
Yeah.
Another thing that the HOG had at, in its first 20-plus years were monthly barn dances. The summer dances were often at the Olin Park Barn. Winter dances were at various venues, including Old Turner Hall and the Grace Episcopal Guild Hall, and as well as other places. We used to have more special events where folk musicians with particular talent in a certain area would come and do a special performance and do workshops. We've had yodeling workshops, instrumental workshops, vocal workshops. Right now, one thing that has lasted through all 35 years has been concerts. As well as sing-along events that sometimes happen on Friday nights.
And Saturdays.
Right. The last couple of years, we have a member in Waukegan, Illinois, Brett, who comes up and does Hootenannies in September, October, November, March, April, May, at least, on Saturday afternoons.
All this
schedule is on wildhoginthewoods.org.
Hey, Kim, why don't you tell us what a hootenanny is?
I was talking to a guy on Saturday at the Hootenanny. He said, I haven't been to a hootenanny since I was 6 years old, which was back in the 1960s.
I think it dates the term.
There were hootenannies on TV back. There was a show called Hootenanny back then. And it's basically people bring instruments and their voices and they sing along. And it was our birthday party this year, our 35th birthday party, was a hootenanny, as it turned out. Not planned necessarily as a hootenanny, but sort of. And people share songs. And you trade instruments sometimes, and we have ukuleles, harmonicas, mandolins, banjos, guitars, hammer dulcimers, an auto harp,
harmonica,
and lots of voices.
Yep,
in harmony.
the music, maybe the dancing, we don't participate in throwing barn dances anymore, but the music is still going strong, and so we plan to be around for a while.
Just to be clear about those barn dances, back when we started the HOG, when Debbie and so forth started the HOG, we had no competition. There weren't many other folk groups doing dancing, and that number just exploded in this city of music and dance today. That it was kind of redundant to continue that.
I think that there's even more to it. I think that as you said, there were no barn dances that were sort of regular barn dances or anything like that. And the coffee house started the barn dances as a fundraiser so that the admission could always be low, and then the return from the barn dances would help fund the coffee house. But there was also this educational component, and they were structured so that people could learn to play in a band for a dance. And so you always had availability, if you were just learning guitar, to sort of stand at the back of the stage, and you could augment the band, but the pressure wasn't on you to play up to speed. So people learned to play them. We had calling workshops, even had like a caller from Indiana come and teach people how to call. He was really good. And And so there was this component of, like, teaching people how to play in bands, how to do the calling. And then other bands got going with barn dances of their own. And I think a lot of them, there was a real correlation between the coffee house and those other dances. And some of it was local support. Some of it was just helping be the genesis for this. And then there got to be so many dances that, that you know, there were more than enough, and the coffee house continued to keep that you know, we can teach people how to play, but that, I guess, that wasn't as compelling as it was in the beginning.
Well, the Hootenannies kind of do that now too.
That, yeah, I think there's, I think things shape themselves to the times.
We also still provide open mics between our two sets on Friday nights.
Yeah, so if you're
a lot of beginners will come and play a tune or two, and thank you, Ken. We're one mic short here. And we've had various performers over the years get their start during an open mic on our Hog stage. And today they play and publicly and
so some forth. Of them, and some of them, even if it's not their musical start, they might be new to town. I remember the night that Chris Plata came, and he played, and he had just been in town for a while. I don't know if it was an open mic night or if he had gotten a set, but that was like a wonderful introduction to Chris.
And yes. He played at Labor Fest this year, and his voice is still as strong as ever.
He's great.
His wife is still playing bass guitar, too.
You know, we still teach things at the Hog. Mm-hmm. We teach people how to run sound.
Oh, talk about that, because some people might want to learn.
Actually, I should talk to Jamie about that, because Jamie is one of the people that helps run the sound workshops. So you can watch for our website to say something about that. We're being an all-volunteer run organization. We're always looking for more volunteers, people to help set up the tables and run, you know, the admission table and tea and coffee. And we do actually have some of that being a coffee house.
What's the website again?
It's wildhoginthewoods.org.
One word?
Yeah.
Jamie, tell us what you do at a sound workshop. What do people learn?
Well, we get various people that want to volunteer to run sound. Excuse me. And
is it a board, a big soundboard?
It's a mixer board, microphones, speakers, you know.
Cables.
And underfloor cables and mic cables, et cetera. And we will get people that want to run sound that either have experience or don't have any experience at all. We take them all, and we train them on our sound system, and we get volunteer musicians to come down so they actually can mix with some musicians playing during the workshops. And so they can go away with the idea that, okay, it's not that tough. It's really easy. And we also have a manual they get a copy of. It's also on our website. On how to hook everything together. We have a lot of the cables are labeled, so you just match A to A and 3 to 3, et cetera, when you want to set it up. Some of the groups that perform are a little more complex or a little less acoustic and may require a little more, and then there's always our coordinators of the concerts usually know the sound systems pretty good as well, so they can help whoever the sound operator is, do something they haven't been trained in.
Well, if somebody took the workshop, and I've never taken one, so this would, then do you just sort of jump in the deep end of the pool, or like do you get assigned a night and it's you and the musicians, or is
no,
somebody,
no, you, know, you,
you
get a shadow.
Mentor?
Oh. Yeah, you get the shadow.
You get the shadow.
Someone else that's running sound.
Okay. I mean, I learned how to run sound at the Wild Hog in the Woods.
And what was it like?
I was nervous at the beginning, but just by watching other people do it and coming in early and going through the whole setup process, helping set up, and then watching the sound operator run the board during the show and make adjustments if necessary, you know, after having done that a couple times, I was able to do it myself, and certainly it's an ongoing learning process, and I've also participated in some of the workshops since I started operating sound, and I want to give a shout out to some people that have come by, and Randy Green was one guy, and I wish him well. I wish him very well right now. There are other people, and Jamie has been a wealth of information. So
Ron Dennis too.
So our sound operators are, I would say, without exception, are open to you coming in early at 6:30 on a Friday night at Wilmar, in the corner of Jennifer and Brearley, and helping set up sound and shout, watching what they do. And
right, without
and if
even,
you already know something,
yeah, you don't even have to attend a workshop to do that.
And right, you get just, to listen to folk yeah. music.
Yeah. And you can let us know you want to do that either by coming to a concert and telling us in person, or by there is a link on our website to, hey, you want to volunteer, something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So don't hesitate to let us know.
How about food?
Well, Ben's not here this evening to talk about food, but he's our food coordinator.
Yeah, we've had baking coordinators is one of the positions that's gotten passed around over the years, like musician booker and volunteer coordinator and newsletter editor and poster hanger and all of those sorts of things. Ben Doran is currently our baker, and he is really good at chocolate chip cookies, but he also bakes some wonderful things called blondies that are sort of like bars that have butterscotch and chocolate in them. Oh, they're so good. So we usually do have some kind of treat to go along with the coffee and tea. Certainly the refreshments are secondary to the music, but they're an important part
they're
of the
nice
coffee
to have,
house.
Aren't they?
Yes,
yeah.
they are.
And
yeah,
we feature Steep.
I was thinking
coffee.
While you were mm-hmm. talking that you're talking about learning sound, and you're talking about being able to run sound to understand what that's like, and for people who think about those things, to learn about stage work and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, in places like Willie Street and so forth, they all use stage people. They use professional stage people. But you can learn how to do these things. People learn on the job. There used to be a lot of volunteer bakers in earlier days when they were, I guess, more volunteers. I'm not sure.
I was a volunteer baker once.
Yeah. And
I used to bring stuff down once.
And I think the thing is that this was a community-building enterprise, you know, and you had people that were learning how to do sound. You had people that were baking, and I remember when the coffee house, no offense, I'm an old guy, and I remember when the coffee house was 1 year old.
A founder.
And we had a cake bake. People just baked cakes if they wanted to bring them in, and one guy baked his first cake ever and brought it in on a piece of corrugated cardboard. It was the ugliest looking darn thing I ever saw. It tasted good, but he was very proud of it. Well, you know, he was very embarrassed about it, but he brought it. And that sort of thing grew, you know, that's possibility. There was a woman who baked for years.
Mary Spike.
And she's still here in town. Yeah. And there are people that are around that could bake now. And there are people around who would like to do sound now. Think about that sort of thing. There are people around who would like to play a few chords behind
right.
people
right.
or sing a harmony or learn how to sing a harmony. And there are people who just like having things together, like a community, like, gosh, this is a nice place to be. It's warm. We're all together. I think this is a really nice place for that sort of stuff. I'm really glad you're still doing it.
And if you're not a musician yourself, and you're more into like why I joined the Hog,
to listen.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to come and listen because you don't have the distractions of a bar, you don't have the distractions of people smoking and mm-hmm. and so forth. It's a clean atmosphere. It's a great stage, and with great performers that cycle throughout the year.
And you have the opportunity to say hi to people that are running the place,
yes.
or not.
Or jump in and help out.
Or just come in and listen and enjoy it.
We're all talking now.
No, this is fun. I like it this way.
The oldest form of music is probably singing. And you know, a lot of performers will say, and you can sing along on this one, I'll teach you the chorus. You know, so if you don't play an instrument but you like to sing, even in Friday night concerts, come on down and sing, you know. Mm-hmm.
Or go to the Hootenannies, too.
Here's what our list of volunteer opportunities in our latest newsletter includes. And like I said, we have a link on our website, wildhoginthewoods.org.
We can use more volunteers.
Set up cleanup, bulk mailing, newsletter or website. We don't do posters currently. Sometimes we need graphics. or other help with publicity. Sound mixing, of course, we're beating to death that theme.
Blurb writing.
Concert coordinators, if you'd like to MC, if you want to be an MC or something like that. And baking, we've mentioned, too. And there are other things that you might think of that might be helpful to us that you might want to offer. So if you're interested at all, please don't hesitate.
Should say we're at the halfway point in the program already. And you did have bring some music along.
In fact, and one of the musicians is Lisa Johnson sitting next to me. She's performed at the Wild Hog on our stage. And another one in the studio, another two in the studio who have performed on the Wild Hog stage are Deb Kometz and Ken Rainier. We also welcome musicians to volunteer in other aspects of the coffee house as well as producing music. But we happen to have a recording.
And Ben.
Lisa on it.
Very current and very very energetic Wild Hog volunteer is Ben Doran, and he's on this too, playing hammer dulcimer, and Tom Castle is on it. So it's a beautiful piece of music. I'd like to hear it.
Let's put it on, and then you guys can think a little bit, and we have a little more time then after that to discuss and talk. Okay?
Sure.
Here we go.
Echoed for miles around with the sound of the axes and trees coming down. Pine, fir, and spruce piled on the ground, their scent rising up to the sky. They gathered the trees up in Thompson each fall, woodcutters, sailors, townsfolk and all, for the Christmas tree ship on her last call to Chicago for Christmas time. Oh, Chicago for Christmas time. Everyone gathered to help with the load. They bundled the trees up and stowed them below. Pine, fir, and spruce piled in the hole and lashed to the deck everywhere. They weighed up the anchor and said their goodbyes, saying, see you all next year at Christmas tree time. With snow flying thick in the air. Oh, snow flying in the air. At the pier in Chicago, they scan the horizon for days, keeping watch for the schooner gliding over the cold winter waves. Rouse Simmons was sighted off Kewanee shore. She was covered with ice and her sails were all torn. She was flying distress signals in the storm. Then the heavy seas hid her from view. Guardsmen searched through the darkness that night. They searched for 5 hours by kerosene light. But Rouse Simmons had vanished into the night with her captain and all her crew. Oh, her captain and all her crew. At the pier Chicago. she lay. All the fishermen off of two rivers would say they caught pine, fir, and spruce in their nets some days from a Christmas their granddad's at sea. The captain's wife took up her husband's old trade and for years sailed Christmas trees round the Great Lakes. When she died, both their names were carved on her grave with a Christmas tree in between. Oh, with a Christmas tree in between.
From a new CD just released in the last week. And performing on the vocals was Lisa Johnson, who's right here in the studio with us. And if you'd like that song and all the other songs on there, Lisa can tell you in just a moment where we might find that CD. But meanwhile, Lisa's going to be performing at the Hog on January 17th. That's a Friday night, of course. And so come on down and see her and the others, whoever else she brings on stage with her that evening. Lisa, are you bringing anybody else on stage with you on Friday night on the 17th of January?
I am, as many people as I can drag along with me. The CD is called Keela Cree, and it's actually Ben Doran's CD. I'm just a backup player on it. It's mostly Ben on dulcimer, and I'm backing him up on guitar. Bill Goebel is on ukulele, and got some Tom Castle on button accordion there.
Ben, are you out there?
Yes.
And Mary Gaines on cello.
Lisa, we have Ben on the line now.
Hey, Ben.
Howdy.
Hi there.
Hey, it was a bit of a communication snafu. I got some comments and then I got a question. Before I get started, I want to thank you all because I can kind of see Kim and I'm pretty sure what Ken's wearing. But anyway, I want to thank you for dressing up for radio. It's always a good thing to see.
Kim's wearing his 20th anniversary T-shirt.
Yes, I'm sitting here in my T-shirt and I knew Kim was probably wearing his. And I love Ken's raccoon coat. Okay. The one thing I wanted to thank Ken for sharing the story about the cake, because that's always struck me about the music in terms of amateur or professional. There's not a lot of difference at the Hog because you get the tips from Philip, no matter what your level might be. But everybody always comes in, and I hear a lot of performers say, "I'm going to try something new on you," and it's really cool to provide that kind of space where people just say, "Okay, I'm going to throw caution to the wind," because if as far as I know, the only musicians that have been slightly injured, it's just getting up and off the stage. That's the only risky part about playing there.
Well, occasionally a chair explodes, but
yeah.
We're talking about the Wild Hog in the Woods Coffee House, which actually has been around for a long time. It's now at 35 years as of the end of this month, or something
right.
like. Probably
yes.
as of this year, since it took about a year to get it going.
So my question then was, how did the Wild Hog in the Woods get its name? And then I'm going to hang up and listen to the radio.
No, don't hang up, Ben.
Oh, okay, all right.
We need you there.
Okay, all right.
I can actually say how it got its name, and it's really boring and mundane. a bunch of people were sitting around. There was a long while where the Wild Hog in the Woods was nothing more than a whole bunch of people meeting in different apartments and homes, trying to hammer out how they might be able to provide a listening room for themselves and others. And what other things might be done to help build a community of people who enjoyed folk music, enjoyed dance, included arts and other things. And there was a lot of yakking and a lot of people talking about where it might be and what it might look like and when it might be open. And, you know, even like whether it might hire a manager or not, which, by the way, it never did. And there were a lot of people talking about what it should be called. Listening room. Living room, lots of good mundane names that were kind of fun. And then somebody said, let's look through the albums, because we were in an apartment of somebody who had like 482 albums.
On Johnson Street,
plain old Johnson Street near Brearley here in Madison. And we just went through, somebody picked up the albums and started naming songs and things like that. And of course, when you get to something called The Wild Hog in the Woods, that generates some sort of response. And then somebody said, well, you know, that's kind of vicious. I mean, the Wild Hog in the Woods, even in the song, the Wild
it's
Hog
pretty bloody.
Eats people. There's bones laying around. And they said, well, but then there's also the possibility of cute little wild hogs in the woods running around and playing music and singing.
Frolicking.
Frolicking. So it took a little while, but it sort of got a grip on people, sort of like a burdock seed.
And I never heard the song, but we actually had Robin and Linda Williams playing at Wilmar at the Wild Hog in the 90s, and they played that song for us.
They learned it for us, which was just amazing to me that they did that.
Like, there's a wild hog in the woods, get along, get along. There is a wild hog in the woods, get along, I ate. And then he does all those things Ken was talking about.
My shirt
actually has a combo hog on here. He's got those wild figures, those tusks, but he's smiling.
Yeah.
Ben did mention Philip, who is our ceramic pig who collects tips for performers, who's about 35 years old and thinking about running for president. Gonna turn 35.
Born in the U.S.
Yep, that's right.
He's looking a little battle scarred. Now he's kind of lost half an ear and his tusks, but he still does his job.
I broke the original one. The original one was a big glass one, and it was one of those episodes where you...
That was you, huh?
Me and another guy.
So watch out if he gets elected. Some people are going to say he's not old enough now.
It's the money that goes into Philip that pays
the
performance.
And the performers.
So we don't pay performers to perform. They come. I mean, we have to,
don't name any prices.
They're lined up for months just to come and play on our stage. And they play for the tips that are put into the pig.
And we encourage people to be as generous as possible. And the name Philip is very much meant as a pun.
I think it's spelled with a U.
Yep, it is.
I would like to bring up something because Ken talked about community building. And I do, in sort of like some early years of the coffee house, there was a kind of wide range of ages and a lot of the people that sort of helped start it were in their 20s and early 30s, but there were people in their 50s. And it's...
We had a city alderman. Helped us get barn dance time at the Olin Park Barn.
And as people and people with families would bring kids, and
they still do.
But I sense sometimes that there could be a little bit more in that 20 to 30 category these days, and
15 to 18.
Or 15 to 18. What
19,
like,
I suppose we shouldn't.
And what I just like to suggest is that there's lots of open mics in town, and they're really fine. And there are some incredible musicians out there at these open mics. If you're one of them or you know one of them, and someone enjoys doing their two or three songs at the open mic, and they'd like to expand to like a 45-minute set, your next stop could be Wild Hog in the Woods, because that's a natural sort of jumping stone from two or three to a set. And so who would they call, you guys, if somebody says, I'd like to do a set?
They'd call Ramona.
And what's the phone number? Or is there an email?
No, you got to call Ramona. She's still using the phone here. I'm going to find her phone number.
Her phone number is on the Hog's website at
wildhoginthewoods.org.
But in case you can't wait, 246-0436. That's 246-0436.
Area 608.
Yep. And that's Ramona. She's been doing our booking for quite a while. Lisa has done it in the past, and I don't know, other people have done it too. And if you're a young person, some of us are a little older, and don't shy away from us because of any age difference. Because at the Hootenanny, some guy said he knew somebody when he was a boy who told his mother, when I grow up, I want to be a folk musician. And his mother said, well, yeah, that's okay, but remember, you can't do both. So that's kind of where we're at, too.
I think Arlo did.
Anyway, we try to be young at heart. One thing we're trying to help young musicians with is scholarships. We donate to the Madison Mad Folk Scholarship Fund, Madison Area Madison Folk Music Association sponsors scholarships for young people to learn musical instruments,
or even older people,
voice.
What does the scholarship pay for?
Lessons.
Individual lessons?
Mm-hmm. Individual lessons.
Yeah.
At any place in the world?
You can connect up with someone that's
here in town?
Yeah.
In Madison. And then we're going to make an effort to try to get some of the people who have taken advantage of these scholarships to come back and play at the Hog. And usually, there's quite a number of younger people involved in that. So another thing that we try to do is have family shows.
And theme nights.
Family show. We do have a family show coming up on 31st of
January.
Mac Robertson. He also...
Great banjo player.
And he does Mad Folk's Blue Mountain State Park summer sing-alongs a lot. A couple people have done family nights, including... Rich Bauman.
David Egan.
And so there's music for children. There's music for families. We have young singer-songwriters. We have older folks, including Larry Penn, we had in September, still going strong.
And, Kim, I think that some of the best thing is the friendships that we form, whether young or old, anywhere in between. The Hog is a great place to meet other people who like folk music.
Right. And basically that's why we're there, because of the music more than anything else.
I should interject that the Cuffee House is an organization and a place. And it's also people. It's cooperatively run for a reason, right? Is it connected with anything? Is it connected? A lot of times, for instance, when I went to college back when there was like stegosauruses grazing outside and stuff,
Did they graze?
Until the Allosaurus would eat it.
Yeah. But
There were coffee houses where I went to college, which was not here, and they were associated with churches and stuff like that. Is this place associated with anything at all?
Well, we're in a neighborhood center.
You rent from the neighborhood center.
Mm-hmm. We rent from the neighborhood center.
We've been in other places before.
But we're totally independent.
Yeah.
We collaborate with other cooperatives. I say, thank you. We're sharing a mic here. We cooperate in projects with other cooperatives. We also help. We provide some funding to some other cooperatives. I can't name them, but Kim probably can.
Go ahead.
The Madison Folk Music Association is not a cooperative, but it's nonprofit, and we've done collaborations.
Wart Radio's another one.
Oh, and speaking of Wart, here's the Hall of Fame list of WORT DJs who have performed on the Hog stage that I could think of. Ken Rainier, Chris Powers, John Fabke, Bill Malone, Jim Schwall, and the late Jeff Hickey.
And John Kraniak.
John Kraniak.
That's pretty impressive.
We've had this ongoing relationship with WORT, which I believe is a co-op.
Well,
it's similar to that.
It's a 501c3 independent organization that runs a radio station and has a good website and keeps a lot of other informational stuff going. Hopefully be part of the community for a while as its nexus of communication. Wild Hog can be connected with that easily enough and has been in the past. And so I encourage you to go ahead and use it. Keep using it.
We've done concerts in cooperation with Mad Folk Society, Madison Folk Music Society, and over the decades.
And we did the Festival of the Lakes.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, those of us that can remember that
far
back.
That was with the Southern Wisconsin Bluegrass Association and with Simply Folk. Those are the two groups we worked with.
That's true. So, Simply Folk is at the NPR station.
Yeah. Huh? And Deb said the Labor Federation brought in...
We're not going to lose you, are we?
We might.
The Labor Fed, South Central Federation of Labor, collaborated with bringing in... Okay.
SICON.
So we have our connections out there, and there are a lot of people who love folk music. And there's folk music, we won't get into a discussion of the definition of that. It's either, people say either discuss that or read Finnegan's Wake. So
we're not affiliated with political organizations, which are really in the newspaper every day these days, religious organizations, you name it. We're just an independent, cooperatively ran group of people that are trying to make folk music more available to listeners, to musicians, a stage for them to perform on, and so forth. By using volunteers and keeping our own costs low by being a volunteer organization.
And we have lots of fun doing it.
I just had another idea for people who might want to get involved with the Hog. Is you talked about theme nights, and for years now there's been a really splendid Woody Guthrie night where someone can come in and be part of it and just sing one song or two songs. And so that's another way if you're a Woody Guthrie fan. It's hard not to be, and you have something you might keep an eye out for that. But again, in the community, there might be a group of you that want to put together a theme night of your own.
We've done train song night.
Train song night. But there might be somebody out there that isn't even a member now that might want to join or even suggest a theme night.
Yeah, like labor songs or something like that.
And put together a group of people and take turns on the stage, sharing songs. So that's another route you could go.
That reminds me of something you said earlier, Debbie, about people finding a place to play. The people at all the great open mic spots in town who get to play a couple of songs, and then everybody's very supportive. It's always a wonderful thing to see. And I know people who go to those and play at them. But if you want to have an extended time to play, this place provides the most excellent listening room because people do listen. And the other thing I want to say is that you almost said, and I think just fell a little short of it, is that if you want to bring your friends to listen to you, if you want a place to play where you and your and people you know, anyone you know can listen
family
to you,
members.
They can listen to you in a place that's uninterrupted. There's nobody having a giant conversation back at the bar in the back. There's nothing going on that's out of whack. It's a listening room. It's not like a library silence. It's a library activity. but you get to do it. And people have done this, and I'm not allowed to talk about prices on the air. We have a nonprofit station. We have a policy against bringing up prices. You can always find out what it is at the website, wildhoginthewoods.org. Or call up the station afterward, and one of these guys will tell you about it. But it's cheap. So you can actually, I mean, I think Debbie was talking earlier about the barn dances raising money so that the door price could be kept low. Even without the barn dances now, the door price is kept low. And so it's an opportunity for people to get together. The money that they pay is supporting the room. Nobody's getting any wages out of it. So it supports the room. The pig, where one could put money for tips, compensates the person who's playing. And then the person who's playing can take everyone out for Pepsi Colas or whatever, you know.
You know, Ken, what you were saying about it being just this nice space, people often talk about
whiskey, you know.
About house concerts, liking house concerts because they have an intimate feel. I think that's what the coffee house has. It's a just nice, it's an intimate feel, but it's not like you can go there and just be yourself. You don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to. You can make friends. You can do what you want, but it's kind of cozy.
I remember for several years there was a guy who would come in very quietly, order some tea, and sit down someplace almost in the middle of the room and sit and listen. And he came in every week. And just enjoyed, maybe all every other week or something, but he came and he enjoyed the music. And it wasn't until, golly, he was there almost a year, I think, over, off and on, before somebody said hello. I think people used to say hello, and he'd say hello back. But somebody who was really gregarious got him to talk. And then he eventually got really involved and had a really good time in it. These things happen, but you can sit there and just enjoy yourself.
And it's intimate enough.
I want to tell you guys that we're at 7:56, so if you want to make any final statements about the coffee house and about the listenership and here,
okay, it
start
is
start to pull them together.
It
in
is
heads.
It is intimate. You can talk to the performers, and that's kind of nice.
Oh, that's right. You can shout at them.
Yeah,
the backstage, you know, pass.
We've existed 35 years as an all volunteer organization. Never had a paid employee, and we're going to continue in that vein, and so we continue to need volunteers, and you can do that by going to our website, wildhoginthewoods.org, checking the volunteer link.
Or you can call WORT at 256-2001, or the toll-free number is 866-899-WORT, which is 9678. And the reason I say that is if you call and you say, I'd like to know more about the thing that they were talking about on Monday night, this hog thing with the music, we'll just have them just say access hour.
Right.
And they'll put a note in there, and I'll connect you with these people.
And we want people to...
And we will get back to you.
We love folk music, and other people love folk music. One place you can listen to it in an intimate atmosphere where everybody's paying attention is the Wild Hog. And once again, that's located at the Wilmar Neighborhood Center in Madison on Jennifer Street, 953 Jennifer Street. At a block up from Willie Street on the corner of Brearley and Jennifer. It's on the number 3 bus line on Fridays and on the number 4 bus line on Fridays. And close
starts
to
at 8.
And close to ones that go down East Wash, and it starts at 8 o'clock. And there's different ways you can volunteer, and we'd love to have you join us.
Or just come and listen.
Yeah.
Volunteer later.
Yeah.
So, want to say anything else? I'd like to thank you guys for doing this. I'm not going to thank you for jerking me into it. but it has been a good time, and I want to thank Kim and Lisa and Debbie and Jamie, all of sat here with me in the studio, and Ben, who's hanging out there on the phone.
Howdy.
And all of you who listened to us this evening. This program is about planting seeds. And, you know, you think about what you heard, and then later on sometime you might just hear somebody else talk about it, and next thing you know you're going to this place and you're going, crap, I heard about this on WRT, like, I don't know, months ago. And that's a good thing.
So
anybody else want to say anything before we move on?
Well, I just want to thank you, Ken, and WRT for providing this kind of airtime to organizations like ours. It's very wonderful to have.
And I want to thank WRT for promoting folk music more so than any other station around here.
Weekday mornings, by and large.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening. We're going to sign off. It's the end of the Access Hour for tonight. Next week will be another one, and something wonderful will happen shortly after these messages. So.